The function of imagination is to construct meaning out of events that are not directly observable to the human eye, and yet events nonetheless that are life-changing through their experience. And it's normally not possible to directly apprehend God, yet we experience the presence of the divine in our lives and in the events of the world around us. Religious imagination builds pictures that identify core values by which we live and bring into sharp focus the choices to be made and the directions of travel to be set out upon or not, as the case may be. There's a problem, however. Traditional religious imagination is difficult for the modern mind. So conditioned are we by the tendency to assess truth claims only on the basis of observable and measurable data, theology, that is the study of our experience of God in the world, privileges inferences felt and not seen. Between inferences and experience, imagination builds the bridge. And so with the ascension, we arrive at the pivotal transition when the ministry of Jesus becomes the work of the Christian community. And it's Luke who gives us the depiction of the ascension, painting a picture of Jesus rising up into the clouds. It's the final or the penultimate event from Jesus' birth through his death and resurrection to his ascension before finally next week the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And we're presented with an image of Jesus ascending heavenwards. Jesus leaves the stage of the world of time and space to make way for what is next in the work of God, the renewal of the creation. So back to religious imagination. In the second book of the Kings, we heard this morning about the prophet Elijah's ascension in a chariot of fire. To what extent this colored the way Luke was thinking about Jesus' ascension can only be conjecture. Yet there are two elements in the Elijah story that Luke also emphasizes. The first, an obvious likeness between the two stories, is the image of ascending. Although Elijah's ascension out blockbusters that of Jesus by a factor of 10. The second likeness concerns the question, what next? Elisha, Elijah's disciple, is given a double measure of Elijah's spirit, symbolized by Elijah's mantle falling down on Elisha. And Elisha can now continue the prophetic work of Elijah in Israel. And Luke pictures Jesus instructing his disciples to go back to the city and there to wait, like Elisha, to await to be clothed from on high. And Luke's real concern here, I think, is not so much with the images of rising into the clouds, but with the fundamental question, with Jesus' ascension, what next? And religious imagination offers at least a couple of possibilities. For instance, when we look at the collects for the Ascension Day, there are two of them. They present divergent images for us to the question, what next? In the first collect, which we heard this morning, the imagery is of Christ ascending that he may fill the whole of the earth. And the request in that collect is, give us faith to perceive that according to the promise, he abides in his church on earth, even to the end of the ages. Compare the second collect, which speaks about Jesus ascending, so may we in heart and mind also there ascend and with him continually dwell. In a way, they're opposite images of what next. The first collect stresses that after his ascension, Jesus, now filling all things, abides with his people here and now on the earth. Whereas the emphasis of the second collect is on our pining for an as yet unrequited longing to follow Jesus into the heavens, where with him to dwell. The contrast is between the Spirit of Jesus living on and equipping the community of the church to collaborate in God's divine plan of salvation, and the frantic plea, beam us up, Scotty, and to hell with this broken world. The reference to beam us up, Scotty, aside, our contemporary religious imagination, our spatial images, are not so much up and down, but side to side. Heaven and earth are replaced by the notion of God's space and our space. Parallel dimensions, side by side, and crucially, occupying the same place, both in time and location. Our modern imaginations are more shaped by quantum theory and science fiction imaging. The untenable images of the Middle Ages of Jesus floating up among the clouds is replaced for us by an image of side-by-side dimensions, an image that paradoxically brings us closer to how the writers of the New Testament understood the relationship between heaven and earth. Not as heaven up there and earth down here, but as heaven alongside earth. For the early Christians, God was everywhere and nowhere. An encounter with the energy of the divine was to be expected as an everyday occurrence in time and space. And Luke's depiction of the ascension can be thought of as a movement between these parallel dimensions of our space and God's space, not distanced, but occupying the same location at the same time. Heaven is right now, right here, not an up there of future hope. The physical Jesus crosses over into God's space from our space as the dynamic energy of the Holy Spirit prepares to move back in the opposite direction. And this interdimensional movement of Jesus has another important result. In the birth of Jesus, the Creator came to dwell within the tent of the creation. In the ascension of Jesus, now pictured as an interdimensional movement, God embraces the fullness of our humanity within the divine community. Jesus' humanity is not jettisoned as he crosses through the boundary like an old worn-out suit of clothes. Jesus carries his full humanity with him through the boundary. And God not only receives back the divine spirit of Jesus, but embraces in the fullest possible extent the humanity of Jesus, incorporating it into the heart of the divine community. The human now comes to dwell within the community of the divine. And of course, this now has profound implications for our role in the question, what next in God's work for renewing the creation? Jay Sidebottom, who many of you will remember as a curate here during the rectorship of Dan Burke, in his most recent weekly Monday epistle, Monday Matters, has written, as we navigate emergence from COVID, how can we stay together in community, counting on each other for support? What community can you count on these days, even if it's virtual? How can we hold prayer at the center of our forward movement, recognizing our need for God's gracious help? What will be your prayer? What will you ask for? And how can we express our trust in the living Lord, who promises that we will not be left alone? What promise from Jesus will sustain us? And as many of you will remember, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, Jay concludes, if we can do these things in this unusual season, maybe we can celebrate Ascension Day by saying that things are looking up. Amen.